When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Coming at you live from the Koppel Chevrolet GMC studios. This is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Broadcasting veteran Derek Pearson.
When you find something that moves them, that makes them smile, celebrate it. That's your task. That's your superpower.
Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman.
Rifles a pass. It was tipped. It's picked off by Foreman. He's at the 15, 10, 5. He'll score.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
It's time for Old School with some young cats. Well, I'll at least group myself in as a young cat. Maybe a little bit older, but younger than the normal fellows over on Old School. Although we will hear, hopefully, from Jay Foreman around 5:25. He said he's got a little bit of time for us today, so we'll give him a call and kind of break down some of the NFL matches coming up, some of the bowl games that are going on, and just the news and notes around Husker football. I was listening to a little bit of what you guys had on the happy hour, part two, right?
Yeah.
Twice the love today for the happy hour in the last few days. And we've got quite an argument brewing, quite a conversation stirring, I should say, about the future of Nebraska football. So we'll just keep going with it. Now a new voice,
absolutely
my own here. But Nick, first of all, Merry Christmas, Happy holidays, and how are you doing today?
Good. Yeah, no, it was a really good conversation, Buck. It got fiery, which was good. It keeps things interesting, especially in the off season. But I don't know. There's so many ways that you can look at this and piece it together on. Like I mentioned the analogy of glass half full, glass half empty. You could say be in that group of, okay, we're getting rid of a lot of people, we're doomed. Or you can be in that glass half full group of saying, well, we are getting rid of a lot of people on this 3-9 team. Maybe that's good. And there's talks about, mutual splits and all this, and you can go multiple ways about it. And I'm curious, actually, to hear your thoughts on it. I'm glad we're able to do this today.
Yeah, it's always kind of fun to have, different conversations with different people around the office. Can kind of shine a new light on it. It's kind of interesting. Usually I think that for the few fans I do have, my brother and my cousin, they at least liked over my years that I would say what I feel. It wasn't, sometimes you have to sell some clicks or whatever. Mm-hmm. You have to kind of believe in the team. I think I've lost a little bit of that edge because I think a lot of people are being quite honest about what they feel, and it's not great at this point in time. And to me, I always just call this whole thing an experiment because that's what it's got to be. I mean, that's kind of how Trev Alberts phrased it to begin with, is that you're not going to have, and I think he did a good job of getting out in front of this when mm-hmm. he said that there's not going to be a whole lot of numbers that's going to say this is going to, head in the right direction. But, it's Scott, so we're going to give him another shot. He's a brother, all that stuff. You remember that was kind of fun. But, I mean, unfortunately, that's where you are. I mean, whether you want to argue you're losing a lot from a 3-9 team or it's getting better, the fact is you're a 3-9 team losing a lot of draft talent. And generally, that's not good. But hopefully some of the staff shakeups can bring some help to that, and of course the lighter schedule. But it's just fascinating because I think a lot of it for people, and it's really just kind of, I would phrase it this way, I don't know if the Kool-Aid's ever going to hit me this year. I think mm-hmm. that if I can get I think that I'll be able to argue myself back up to a 6-6 type of thing, if that's what you call Kool-Aid, but I don't think that it's going to go much beyond that just because it's such an uphill battle.
I think, yeah, you're absolutely right, and I'm kind of in the same boat. I don't know if the Kool-Aid, and we got this text earlier saying how once we get a transfer portal quarterback, the Kool-Aid will hit, and we can kind of, put this together. I don't think it will for me because this is the same staff, same guy in charge, I should say. And I'm not advocating for him to have been fired this last year or anything like that. So please don't put words in my mouth. But they have shown the lack of ability to develop a quarterback, and right now they don't have a quarterback that they're very confident in. And so when you look at that, plus, like you just said, you lose your draftable talent from a three and nine team. And yes, the schedule is a little bit easier. The schedule is a little bit easier for you. However, that's a weak excuse in my opinion. Because I've mentioned before, you're 1-3 against Purdue, you're 1-3 against Minnesota, you're 0-4 against Iowa, you're 0-3 against Wisconsin. The teams that you're going to play every single year, you have not beaten with this draftable talent. And at the beginning of the season, it was so different because it felt like this was the year they finally had it all together. We heard way back in year two, at the start of year two, that, quote, they weeded out all the bad apples, or they got rid of all the bad apples. But here they were. They did not make a bowl game, and they failed expectations in year two. So now you're here in year four. You have a 4-year starting quarterback. You have a center in Cam Jurgens coming back, who, let's be real, had a pretty good season compared to his last year in terms of just snapping. And then you have an experienced secondary and a good defense, and you're still 3-9. You can't beat the teams that you're supposed to beat.
Yeah, in some ways the players almost did more than what you thought they would. I predicted Nebraska would be 6-6 going into this year. And again, that probably wasn't completely an honest prediction. It was like, yeah, if all goes right, Nebraska can be 6-6. But again, sometimes you don't see things coming. I didn't see JoJo turning into a second team All-American. You know, I didn't know if Cam Jurgens was going to be ready to leave early. I didn't know Austin Allen was going to be the Big Ten tight end of the year. You know, some of these, I mean, Samari Toure, that gamble certainly paid off. So, I mean, there's a lot of, lot of things that went really right for Nebraska. And I just can't help going back to saying or looking at it, it's just a huge missed opportunity for this program, for specifically Scott Frost and his staff, to take off and to really that be the year. And it sucks, you know, that Nebraska's in that position. They used to be the team that could restock, and you'd always have more all-conference players kind of filling those positions or hype around them. And there's just, it, you know, that hasn't been the case over the last 5 years. And you finally kind of put that class together with the help of a COVID year.
Yeah.
And just a lot of things had to fall into place so that you could have, you know, like 6 or 7 guys that are, you know, draftable to a degree, which Nebraska hasn't had since around 2011, that big of a class. Mm-hmm. And it comes up with the worst season Nebraska's had, you know, winning percentage wise since the 50s. So
I had forgotten that a lot of those guys from last year's team would not have been there without the COVID year.
Yeah.
That's wild to think about it. And yes, last year you lost a mainstay in the middle in Will Honus, a strong guy in the middle, I should say, not a mainstay. But yeah, that's really interesting that you said that, because I forgot that they had some guys back for just the COVID year. That's wild. But no, like you talked about a guy like Samori Toure. I don't know how sustainable it is or how realistic it is. Nebraska kind of just needed him to be their best receiver. And I don't know if you can really rely on a guy every single year to come in and do that from the transfer portal. I don't know if that's a sustainable option.
It's not sustainable. It's definitely a hope. But yeah, it had to hit. I mean, between him, I mean, you had some options there. I think you had at least had, you know, that, or hopefully Omar Manning would really bounce back, or Xavier Betts would catch fire or whatever. So they had some pieces there. But yeah, I mean, that's not something that's reliable. It is interesting, as you speak about that position. I'm always kind of interested in the quarterback position. That is obviously still open. And the idea there for a lot of people is get the guy that gives you the best opportunity to win next year, because that's all that's guaranteed to you. And certainly it looks like that's all going to be left for you unless they reach a bowl game. And I don't know if that's the best long-term plan as far as, you know, if knowing if Scott Frost is turning this thing around. Maybe you can, you know, put some quote unquote magic together and go 7-5 or 8-4 with the senior quarterback. But I don't know if having him lead the way is the best long-term plan for your quarterback. But I will say this, with the amount of names that have dropped into the portal, even before bowl season. So a lot of these good teams, there might be a few more names dropping in there. It looks more and more like an option that you could probably have a good pick. I mean, everybody's going to want the same, you know, 10 to 20 guys that are on top of the portal. So that's where you run into your problem. But I'm not as worried about the longevity of a quarterback specifically coming in next year as I maybe had been before looking at kind of the first year of the portal and seeing its first full year kind of go and thinking, you know what? I mean, you're going to be able to grab a decent player from the portal just about every year, I think.
Yeah, I'm curious because a lot of these guys that have been in the portal and left, those are the guys that Nebraska fans would have been excited about. You look in here, you don't think, you don't see a realistic reason that Nebraska fans would be excited about a Chase Thompson from Texas. Many people were torn about having the thought of Keaton Slovis be here. And so I'm curious what happens there, because you're not going to be, it's not going to be an exciting name that probably comes out. I mean, Emory Jones will probably come out or come into the portal after the portal after the bowl game. But yeah, exactly. And then you wonder, there's so many unanswered questions about how this offense is going to be run. And that was one thing that me and Rico didn't talk about, but we talked about right after we ended our show, was Logan Smothers. You have a guy in Mark Whipple who's known for airing it out. And so if they decide to stick with a guy like Logan Smothers, when in Iowa, again, the game against Iowa, when they asked him to throw the ball, he did not look sharp.
No, now, I mean, they once completely again, built the big game plan around him running.
You're right. And so, and part of that, like I said earlier on my show, was that's not Logan's fault. The fact that Logan is not ready to be the starting quarterback is not necessarily all Logan's fault. And that's what's alarming about the whole thing to me, is because if they go in and this transfer portal doesn't work out, they have Logan Smothers and he's not ready.
He may not be ready. I mean, I don't think I think that you could build a game plan around him for it not to be awful. It's just, it's kind of what you expect at Nebraska out of your quarterback, right? Or what we expect Adrian Martinez to carry the offense. We've seen it with Tommy Armstrong and Taylor Martinez. And so you just kind of have to lay it all in the feet of the quarterback. I think that if you had the right game plan, or you could rely on the defense, but the problem is, if you had other strengths, you wouldn't have to do that.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I don't know if they have other strengths, or at least enough of the other strengths to rely on. I mean, Iowa football is the great example, like the antithesis of Nebraska, right? Where they rely completely on special teams. Their offense was really rough. And even that, they kind of just rely on the run game because you didn't want to risk too much as far as turning the ball over through the air for Iowa. But Nebraska is not going to have, I think the hardest pill to swallow here is Nebraska's probably not going to have the defense that they had this year, next year. And so you're not going to be able to, you know, in some game plans, they did that. I thought they did pretty well. You know, Michigan State, there's some game plans where they would kind of play conservatively finally for the Frost offense and let the defense keep them in the game. And I just don't know if that's going to be available to them next year. And then you look at the running game. That's been a disaster. The offensive line's been a disaster. You can have some hopes that tied in a wide receiver, but you really have to have the quarterback throwing them the ball, which is the whole thing. We're looking to try to lean on something else to begin with. So I think that it is going to be a very, very much quarterback centric offense once again. And, I mean, that leads me to worry, especially about a pocket style quarterback, because if you have the same type of offensive line protection you had this year, that's going to get ugly.
Well, and I'm getting told on the text line to calm down because there's going to be 20 more quarterbacks that enter the portal. And I understand all that. I get that. And I understand that they also add that an All-American quarterback is not going to enter the portal for obvious reasons. I'm not expecting an All-American quarterback. But I'm saying, once again, you look at these missed opportunities, and then you think, okay, how long is this going to be drug out? And if Nebraska adds a quarterback after spring ball, like after or right before spring ball, it didn't work for Tanner Lee. Like the staff has not shown the ability to develop anybody in their room, in that quarterback room. And I understand Mario Verduzco is gone, and it's Mark Whipple now. I completely understand that. However, there's part of you that still is saying Scott Frost is the head guy in charge, and it hasn't progressed in the 4 years that they've been here, unfortunately.
Well, even the great Mark Whipple hope, I mean, the problem with that is that Kenny Pickett wasn't this year's Kenny Pickett the first year under Mark Whipple. It took some time to get that, and they were changing the offense. But that's the same thing you're doing here. You're changing the offense with a new quarterback that you're throwing in there, you know, and so it's going to take some time. I think he had 13 touchdowns and 9 picks his first year, threw for over 3,000 yards. Not a bad year, but nothing that's going to really, you know, elevate Nebraska. You know, that type of season wouldn't elevate Nebraska.
Especially in a quarterback-centric offense.
Yeah, and it's going to be tougher to get those numbers against these Big Ten defenses than maybe it was against those ACC defenses. And then the other thing is you have to hope you have Kenny Pickett, who was a Heisman Trophy contender.
Bingo, hope. So, I mean, you have to hope it works out. That's a whole other thing, is you have to hope that it works out and that they find a guy that can come in and be sustainable and be a reliable option for exactly what they want to run.
Yeah. And that's why I think this, again, I just go back to this as an uphill battle. I think it's a lot easier to convince yourself, as well it should be, coming off a 3-9 season with a bunch of, you know, your best players leaving and a bunch of staff changes. It'll be easier to argue this thing's not going to turn around than that it is. So, you know, it's easy to put it down and make them think that it's not going to work. But at the same time, I mean, you know, it is football. You're going to have 11 guys across from 11. You know, it's a new go at it. Mark Whipple has had a lot of success, you know, in his previous stops. So, you know, it doesn't have to all come together for Nebraska. It's almost just kind of a few things have to fall into place, because we're talking about getting potentially to 6-6. I don't think anybody's talking about winning the West next year. It's just about turning this program in the right direction. I think that there's enough talent on the roster for that to happen, but of course it's all hard to envision without knowing who's going to be lining up at quarterback. But even with Logan Smothers in there, that's part of the problem is, do you expect Scott Frost to finally get what he should have out of his roster, when after last season was the worst example of getting the, you know, the total wins that you needed compared to the roster that you had?
Well, and somebody Rubber Duck from LinkedIn pointed out that Logan needs to mature, and I completely agree, and develop in the offense. However, my whole thing is he's been here for 2 years, and it's how long do you ride with him as your starting quarterback? And if that's the way they're going, that's totally fine. But have confidence, because this last season they didn't have confidence in him.
Yeah, and you got to wonder, and people, you know, kind of avoid talking about it too much, but kind of what's going through Logan's head right now, because there's not a whole lot of confidence put on him. I think that there's certainly an opportunity, especially if you get a pocket-style quarterback and he gets hit several times. You're going to need Logan Smothers, not just for possessions, but for games next year. So they got to do a good job of keeping his confidence up. And, you know, hopefully there is some self-awareness for him there, that he's that they at least need to bring in a veteran competitive edge to it. And that, to be completely honest, I like you, am a little bit worried about the transfer portal, that the best names may have gone by. And so that when you bring in the type of names, unless you're talking about maybe, again, the top three names on the portal, after that, I think it's competition for Logan rather than, okay, here's the starter. I don't know how many guys even left out there in the portal right now you would consider the starter over Logan if you brought him in right now.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And like I just said a couple minutes ago, is there, I don't know if there's a name, and you just said it, that would excite you. And you're relying on this transfer portal addition at quarterback. If they are pitching to these guys, hey, you're going to come in and be the starter, number one, they're not coming, which is worrisome. Number two, you're putting all your eggs into this basket, because let's be real. You have 1 year, and you have to have this work out. It has to work out. And by work out, we mean 6-6.
Yeah. Not asking for a lot.
But at the end of the day, if you're not confident in Logan Smothers, and that's what Nebraska's stuck with, how is this coaching staff supposed to tell or have confidence towards the fan base, or speak confidence into the fan base? How is it supposed to speak confidence into the players, including Logan Smothers, when Logan Smothers hears how they're going to the portal for a quarterback? How is anybody supposed to play together and be on a team and find success, relative success in terms of 6-6, when you know that just 5 months ago in the offseason, your coaching staff wasn't encouraged by your performance through 2 years of being here?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm still amazed by the Husker fans that showed up and paid more than $100 on the secondary market, almost $150, to go watch Nebraska and Iowa after it was revealed that Scott Frost would be back. Yeah. They have the support of the Husker Nation. And numerous polls by much higher people in the media I've seen want this extra year for Frost, want to see him get another opportunity. I'll go ahead and say it. I probably wouldn't have. I would have waited till the end of the season to make my decision. And once 3-9 kind of going, the dice come up 3-9, I think I would have moved on. But for what it's worth, I like that the fact that they at least cut the buyout. They think that they could put together enough of a plan that it's worth the attempt. And that's where that big missing piece of the quarterback still, you kind of wait and see, because I like what they've done enough with the hires, bringing in Mark Whipple. I think Donovan Royallo's got a nice future. That's not necessarily part of the reason why I'm too excited about it, but I like the Raiolas, so there is always that. But Mickey Joseph and Whipple kind of being the main reason why so far I think that it's been a pretty solid offseason for them. But that last big piece was the quarterback. If it's, okay, Keaton Slovis, I'll throw him here. I personally don't even like pocket quarterbacks, but you say, okay, a guy that's been in the Heisman race, a guy that's thrown for 30 touchdowns in a season. Last time Nebraska quarterback's done that, I don't think ever.
Yeah, so things that you can point to.
Yeah, so actual, like, okay, all right, there's, I wasn't really on board with this, but okay, now that there's these ingredients in this recipe, I can get on board with it. I think they're running out of options there in the transfer portal as far as who that would be, and I'm interested to see how much it continues to add to it, because the bowl season, I mean, these teams are, I think you're going to get more than anything kind of backups at different schools, so maybe that can jolt some excitement for you. But there wasn't too many backups for me that were going to be too exciting. Maybe Quinn Ewers, you know, those type of guys, but they went off and they went early. So I just don't know if there's that big name guy out there. So you have to, again, sell it with the recipe you do have that you did get, which is Whipple and Joseph, and hopefully the coaching staff can change more than maybe the quarterback. But we'll see. I mean, they could still get something.
Yeah, and after this season, I mean, going back to this coaching staff and having 1 year left, and what would you have done if you were the athletic director after the 3-9 season and year four and stuff like that? I mean, after this season, there's no reasons that you'll be able to say why you should give him another year if it doesn't work out. You can't stick on that reason of Adrian Martinez has been the quarterback the whole time. You can't say that. You can't point to anything and say, well, if we give him another year, this guy's going to leave. That's done. You have 5 years to change a program at Nebraska, and you can say whatever you want about this previous staff. But as far as I'm concerned, they made a bowl game. And through the first 5 years.
You're talking about Mike Riley.
Yeah, Mike Riley. And I was not a fan of Mike Riley. Mike Riley needed to go. And once again, we can always go back to this whole, everybody was on board with Scott Frost being hired.
Oh, yeah.
And including myself. So going back, you wouldn't have changed it. However, you're through 5 years, and sometimes it's just not working. And it just doesn't work. And at some point, you just have to move on.
Yeah.
And there's nothing you can continue to, you can't keep giving chances and expecting it to be fixed when, in terms of just strictly work, wins and losses, it's regressed.
Oh, yeah. And it's been very disappointing to watch Nebraska fall into a place where a 3-9 coach would come back. I never thought I'd see 3-9 to begin with, but a 3-9 and a retained coach. Very interesting times for Nebraska.
And folks are, there's going to be some folks next year that are happy and thrilled with 7-5.
Oh, yeah. I will be, and I never thought I'd be there either. But it is what it is for Nebraska football. We'll talk plenty more about it in the coming segments, but I want to get specifically to the draft, because we've talked about draft-eligible guys. Mm-hmm. We're going to put our Mel Kiper Jr. hats on, our Todd McShay hats, and try to break it down, see who we would pick first, try to give a guesstimate on the round that we would select some of these guys that are draft-eligible for the Huskers. We'll do that next here on, what is this? This
old
is old school.
School.
This is old school on 93.7 The Ticket.
You're listening to Old School with DP and Jay. Download the mobile app and listen wherever you are on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.